It's time for the Hockey Writers Grindline, a weekly show covering everything Detroit Red Wings. Brought to you by our own iconic top line of Wings writers. Sit back and enjoy the grind.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Grind Line here at the Hockey Writers. I'm your host, Matthew Zator, and joined in, as always, by my defense partner, Devin Little. Devin, how's it going? On another week into the offseason, closer to the draft, we're getting excited here. And we're going to start talking draft, well, the draft we've talked about. We're going to talk about prospects today. Lots of fun. So, Devin, how's it going this week?
It's going good. We're talking about some of my favorite stuff, Red Wings prospects. Really excited for today's episode. And we're knocking on the door of the Stanley Cup final. We just got to finish up the Western Conference, right? So, yeah. A couple weeks from now, hockey's going to be over. It's kind of crazy, but that just means the off season's that much closer, right?
Yeah. And the draft is now literally, well, when you guys are watching this, a day before, a month away. So we're getting the countdown going here. So, but like Devin said, we're going to be talking prospects today, but as always, we got to do our one good, one bad as we start our show. So Devin, what's a good and a bad from this past week?
My one bad, and this is where I'm going to take off the Red Wings hat for now. As some of you may or may not know, I was wearing a jersey like two episodes ago or so. I am kind of a side Golden Knights fan, and I am a little disappointed they weren't able to close out that series on Thursday night, but still up 3-1 in the series. I have a feeling that it's just kind of a matter of time before they do close it out. Looking forward to Vegas, Florida as the final. I know a lot of people are talking about television ratings. I don't really care. I think it's going to be a really good, really good final. My one good, I'll just kind of lean into that. I do think that the Florida Panthers are quite the story. At this point, as much as I am a Vegas fan, I think that Florida looks like a team of destiny. Mm-hmm. And it's really fun to see teams like that go on the run they are. I think of like the LA Kings 10 years ago. There's a lot of stuff going on right now about what happens if Pittsburgh beats Chicago that one night. Florida's not even in the playoffs, right? Then where are we at? It's stuff like that where it's like, you know, who would have guessed, you know, a month, 2 months ago that this is where we'd be. Panthers weren't even in the playoffs 2 months ago. So this has been a fun story to watch. You know, obviously it's not the Red Wings. None of this had anything to do with the Red Wings, so whatever. But I'm enjoying the storylines and the play in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I mean, that it's just insane that one game against Chicago, or the Chicago beating the Pittsburgh Penguins, that ended up changing so much of how it is. I mean, what if that didn't happen? We wouldn't be here.
Chicago wouldn't even have the top pick, right?
Like, yeah, they wouldn't have Connor Bedard, or potentially. I mean, I'm assuming they'll pick him. It's crazy that game decided so much. It really was a meaningless game, at least in Chicago. I mean, Pittsburgh, obviously, they would have liked to win that game because that would have put them in the playoffs. That's a crazy story. So my good is that was the Florida Panthers, because it is a crazy, it's a pretty good story. I mean, Matthew Tkachuk, as much as, I mean, people don't like him because of how he plays against the teams that most of the time you play against him. You don't like him because of how he plays. But he heck of a story in the conference finals. He had three game winners. I mean, three of the four games he had the game winner in. And, he was really quiet in the two games that he had the game winners in, which is pretty crazy. And then he became the hero. So that's pretty crazy story. And Bobrovsky's story of kind of coming from the ashes, emerging like a phoenix, because he really wasn't that good in his time in Florida until now. And now he's looking like that $10 million goaltender. So, quite a story in Florida. But let's not dwell on that. We want to talk Red Wings. So my bad is going to be Red Wings related, and that is Sebastian Kosa not starting the game in for the Walleye tonight. He's not in net. And how much he's played and how well he's played this season, why isn't he there? So there's my bad. I'm sure they have their reasons of why they put Lehtomäen in, but There you go. Well, we'll be talking about COSA in a bit here. So stay tuned. And with that, let's get started with that. Our Detroit Red Wings prospects talk. And this is, we're going to talk about rankings and not Devin's rankings. Delaney Reimers, she came out with a top 15, about a week ago, I think, last Saturday or last Sunday. You know, basically a week ago when you guys are watching this. So I'm sure you guys have read it. I mean, if you haven't, go out and read it because it is a long read. I'll warn you on that, but it's a great read. So definitely take a look. If you want to just kind of read through some of the prospects that she has and kind of pick and choose you want to read, but definitely take a look because it's a great read, like I said. So let's start there and start with the top five, and we'll just go through this quickly, and then we're going to kind of do a dive into it. Not crazy throughout the whole top 15, but if you guys watched about Prospect Corner or any of our things, we'll kind of do the same thing. We'll go through the rankings and talk about risers, fallers, maybe highlight a few. So quickly, top five is first Marco Casper, not a real surprise there. He's probably the top prospect on the Red Wings. Got Simon Evanson, number two, again, not really a surprise. Three, Sebastian Cosa. Four, Amadeus Lombardi. And number five, rounding out the top five, Carter Major. So, Devin, that top five, what do you think about it? Do you think it's pretty much what you put in the top five of these prospects for the Red Wings? Or would you kind of change that around, any of them there?
Well, it's interesting, right? I definitely think that this is proof that... there's a lot of intriguing names and intriguing players in the Red Wings prospect pool because I'm just going to say this right now. I kind of disagree with Delaney's top five, but I also think that she makes a good case for why they're at where they're at. And I think that, you know, she has her valid reasons for putting them where they're at. I don't say she's wrong. I just have my personal preference of where players are at. You know, I did the last rankings I did was back in January, mid-season rankings. I'm planning on doing another rankings after the 2023 draft. We at this point, if you watch the show a fair amount, you know what players I really like. I would have Albert Johansson in the top five. He's a little bit lower on the list. We'll get there. So I think that's something I disagree with. I think she's higher on Lombardi than I am. I do think Lombardi's a notable prospect. I think he's top 10. I don't think he's top five. But I get why she's really high on him. I think a lot of Red Wings fans are really high on him right now. He's been nothing but score in the OHL this season. And then even at the top two, right, Casper and Edvinson, I think they're close. I get why Casper's at number one for her. But, you know, just based on, like, NHL readiness, like, I think Edvinson's, like, ready to go. I think Casper, it's still kind of a question whether or not he's ready to go. He did play that one game, but it's one game, right? So I know, like, if I was doing these rankings, if you asked me to do this right now, I'd flip those two. I'd have Edvinson at one, I'd have Casper at two, and then I'd fill it out as such. But all things considered, I'm not here to, like, knock her work. Like I said, I think she has valid reasonings for why she has the top five as such. I just think that I'd switch the top two and I'd probably have a couple of different faces in the top five.
I agree. I would have put Major higher. I would have had Major above Lombardi. I would have had him in four. And Lombardi is really, he's interesting. I'm not sure he'd be in the top five for me either. There's a couple other names like Wallander, I would say, is maybe even higher there. I really like Emil Biro where he, you know, I don't know if he's in the top five, but I like he's on this list. I will get there. The top five is an interesting, like I say, nothing against Delaney's picks. I mean, these guys are definitely what she said in the write up there, you know, it kind of convinces it's convincing of why he's where he is. But I'd say the top three are pretty much the top three. It's just maybe, like you said, Edvinson, I would say probably is number one for me too. Just because of, he has shown he can play in the NHL, and looks really good, in the time he was there. So I would say if you're basing on NHL, like readiness, potential, whatever, Edmondson is first. But it's how you're kind of ranking. You're saying this is like at their peak. And this is always hard with rankings. How are you ranking them? Are you ranking on in their prime, this is to be the best prospect and this will be the best player out of this group? Really, it's hard to kind of gauge that. But at this point, I think the top three is probably set. I mean, Kosa has kind of shown, I don't think anyone would have put him in the top three at the beginning of the season, maybe, because of how he kind of struggled to start and how he struggled kind of last season as well. But yeah, he's really solidified his spot in that top five, right?
Kosa was at six when I ranked him in January. There you go. So, and then also like Casper's like a perfect example of this too, because I've said this on the show a couple times. I'm not sold on him as a future top line center. And that is another reason why I wouldn't have him above Edvinson, because I'm a bit more sold on Edvinson being a top line defender. But you know, if Delaney's sold that he's a top line future top line center, then yeah, you put him at first overall. I don't disagree with the reasoning, right?
Yeah, true. Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, let's move to our 5 to 10, again, or 6 to 10. Six, William Wallander, and we alluded to him there. He's just outside the top five. Elmer Soderblom, 8, Donovan Sobrango, 9, Dmitry Buchelnikov, and number 10, Albert Johansson. So, Devin, I'm sure you like Johansson. In that top 10, you said you want him higher. What do you think of the rest of her top 10 here?
I think that the biggest change I would make here is that I would make sure that Albert Johansson's ahead of Donovan Sobrango. I like Donovan Sobrango. We've talked about him a lot on the show. Sobrango spent time this season in the ECHL. He played with the Walleye. Johansson did not. Johansson played the entire season in the AHL with the Grand Rapids Griffins. His first season in the in North America, mind you. This is Sobrango's third season being a pro. So I think it speaks more to Johansson being able to hold his own in the AHL for a whole season and not get demoted, whereas Sobrango was demoted this year. I think that tells me that Johansson's higher, at least in my opinion, than Sobrango is. And I would even like, and maybe this is me projecting my own like for this player, but I would go as far as to say that if he wasn't injured towards the end of the season in Grand Rapids, I think Johansson would have gotten a call up, maybe even over Edvinson, which is kind of crazy to say, I know, but he did really well in Grand Rapids. I genuinely think he should be higher on this list, but again, I know I'm a little biased. I like this guy a lot. And then outside of that, like it's a solid group of players, right? I'm not saying Sobrango doesn't belong in the top 10. I'm saying he doesn't belong above Johansson. Yeah. I think Soderblom's definitely more or less where he belongs. I think you could maybe argue he's not a prospect, but he hasn't hit that number yet. So I'll still count him as a prospect. But he has shown he can play in the NHL, right? He won a job out of camp. Yeah. Wallander looks like a really good guy. I know you mentioned him just a little bit ago. I think he's at six. I think it's a pretty good spot for him. I think you could even argue he could be 5. And then Sobrango's there, Buchelnikov. Buchelnikov, I had an 8, I'm pretty sure, last time. So he's right, more or less right where I had him. So again, I like the group that she has in the top 10. I just maybe wouldn't have them in the exact same spots.
Yeah. Move them around a bit. I agree. I think Soderblom, he's played 21 games this season. So he was 4, like I say, 5 away from surpassing that 25 game mark. Is basically Corey Pronman, I believe, was the one that kind of started this kind of set of, and everyone kind of follows this 25 games is, you're like, once you're past that, playing that in the NHL in one season, you're not a prospect anymore. So technically he is a prospect, or if you turn 25 as well. So there is, I mean, he's still a prospect by that definition. But by the time this comes out the next time, I'm sure that's going to be gone, because I'm sure he's going to play a lot next season for the Red Wings. It was interesting he didn't play the rest, but again, got injured. So it's difficult. And then when he came back from injuries, he was sent down to the Griffins, right? So So I mean, Soderblom, I think, is going to be a full-time NHLer next season, so he won't even be on this prospect list. But yeah, I think the 7 is probably a good spot for him at this point. Wallander, I really like. I think, like I said, I think he could maybe push himself into the top 5. But being at six, just outside of it, it's not bad. Buchelnikov's really growing on me from you know, just reading more about him, just going, because I want to know more about the Red Wings prospects now too, because doing this show. So knowing, and I love prospects in general, so you know, knowing more about him is always great. Buchelnikov's becoming a little bit of a very, maybe not as underrated as he used to be. I mean, I think he's gaining traction in the Red Wings world, right? So, but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he kind of develops, comes over to North America at some point, which I'm assuming you want to sooner rather than later. I mean, he is in the KHL right now, and he signed that extension until 2025. So we may have to be waiting a bit for him to come over, but it's going to be interesting to see when he does, how he plays. All right. So since it's a top 50, may as well go through the last five. I mean, this is not a top 100 list or whatever. It's not going to be exhaustive. So let's just quickly go through the rest of it. 11, Crosshunt Hannes, which I mean, we've talked about him quite a bit on this show and on Prospect Corner as well. So yeah, I like him as a prospect, so I'm glad he's here. Alexander Doucette, another guy. Hopefully I'm saying his name right. 115 points in this season. It's a crazy season. So deserving of being in that. Emil Vero, like I said, love it that he's in the top 15. So thanks, Delaney, for putting him here. Like I said, he's not a flashy defenseman, but guy does his job. And he's going to be a great partner for an offensive defenseman, whoever that may be in the future. Love it that he's in this top 15. Shai Boom, another guy I really like as a defenseman here as well. And then rounding out the top 15, Theodore Niederbach, another interesting prospect that we've talked about at length as well. So, Devin, what do you think about the rest of this top 15?
That's good. I think that there's this is where it goes from like players that for one reason or another you're really excited about to like players that like you're hopeful about, right?
Yeah.
Like players that you're maybe not, they're not slam dunks or anything like that, but you, if things go right for them, you think they could definitely be contributors. I think Hannes has a good chance to become a really solid middle six guy for the Red Wings. I think Doucette's kind of a solid, he was just like an undrafted free agent that the Red Wings signed. So I think he has potential to be some sneaky good additional value for the Red Wings. We'll see where he goes. Vero, you and I both like this player a lot because he's solid, right? He's not, like you said, he's not flashy. He's not Simon Edvinson. He just kind of does his job, and you need guys like that in the blue line. Yeah. Shai Boom, again, another interesting guy. I think he's one to keep an eye on going into next season. And then Theodore Niederbach since I've been doing prospect rankings for the Red Wings, Niederbach's been like right in this 15 range, like for basically since he's been drafted by the Red Wings. Yeah. So I completely agree with him at 15, because that's more or less exactly where I would put him. Yeah. He's got some interesting, things going on with him. I think he's a player that just like Boom, I think next year is gonna be a big year for him in terms of establishing what his worth is as a prospect and what his kind of path forward is in terms of his development. So I think 14 and 15 here are Boom and Niederbach are guys to really keep a close eye on heading into next season.
Yeah, I agree. I love following these guys. I mean, I liked Boom and the Driz draft year before he was drafted by the Red Wings. I thought he was a great target for anyone in that range. So the Red Wings getting him, and he's been solid in the NCAA last couple seasons. So yeah, that's going to be interesting to watch him. Vero, again, developing, playing in the ECHL right now in the playoffs, right? You know, as we're talking, he's playing right now. Same with Sabrango, he's playing as well. So, I mean, there's guys that they're developing. We'll see if those two can play in the AHL for most of the season next year. Vero did play with the Griffins as well. I kind of split his time between the Walleye and the Griffins. So, I mean, a lot of these guys, you know, they're going to be developing. We'll see how they even end up in the NHL, maybe with some call-ups, and injuries always happen, like you said. So, yeah, it's going to be fun to see their development after this summer, see how they all kind of fix any issues that they kind of see. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Well, I mean, a 15, Devin, what do you think about guys that aren't on this 15? Would you bump anyone out to add someone else in there? I mean, Red Wings have a pretty deep pool. And then once they draft whoever they draft in this draft, I mean, it's going to change because there's going to be some good guys that are going to select. So who at this point would you add in a 15, or is this the 15 that you would kind of go with as well?
Yeah, first things first, you're absolutely right. Two first round picks, I expect the top 15 to look a little bit different in a couple months. And the cool thing about talking about that is I'm going to be the one who writes it, so I didn't know. But who would I elevate into the top 15? A couple names come to mind, honestly. I think Red Savage is one that comes to mind. I do like him. And the thing about Red Savage is that he's one that, you know, I don't project him as like a top six player at all. I think he's more of a bottom six guy, but I like a lot of what he does. I think he, you need bottom six guys, yeah. Right? You need good bottom six guys. They have their value. He's a guy that I would consider. He's on that list. Liam Dower Nilsson's another one, kind of the same type of player, but Swedish. There's other guys I can go into too. Around this range is where you really get into who you like versus who you don't like as much. I talked about that in the top five, but it's really a thing around this range because there's not a whole lot of separation. If we're being honest, it just kind of comes down to who you feel more confident about heading into the future. Who do I think could maybe fall out? I mean, logic would tell you a guy like Niederbach because he's at 15 and I more or less like him there, right? So I think he could slide down. And I also, like I said, I think he has some things to prove next season. So I'm not, I expect he's going to be lower than 15 when I do these rankings in a couple months. Yeah. Another one, excuse me, honestly, is Doucette. And the only reason why I say Doucette is because, yes, he had a phenomenal season this season in the QMJHL. And the reason why I point out what league it's in is because that's a very high scoring league. It's not hard to rank up a lot of points in that league because it's not exactly known for stingy defensive play. He's also an undrafted player. I do think that speaks for something. There's plenty of undrafted players that have become something, right? So you don't write them off just because of that. But I do think there's something to it that he kind of out of nowhere is producing like this. It hasn't been like a trend before. And I also just generally kind of am skeptical of players that are that fit both those things. They're undrafted and they produce in the queue. A lot of players produce in the queue and then they go on to not score in the NHL because you actually play defense in the NHL.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is, right? Yeah. And also, like I said, there are late bloomers. But if you're nobody when you're 17 and you're nobody when you're 18, nobody wants you. And then suddenly when you're 19, teams want you. I think there's room for skepticism there, right? Yeah. I think I said this on a different podcast I was on. Shout out to the other Grindline podcast. I think Doucette very well might just be like a really quality top six AHL player when all is said and done. And there is value in that, right? You need to have good quality players in your AHL team to make sure that team is competitive. But at the end of the day, I'm not exactly betting the house that Doucette becomes like a full blown NHL player. So 12 is a little high for me as it is. I think he would make the list for me, but he's not knocking on the door of the top 10. So I think he's a player that will fall when I do these rankings again.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's a similar guy in the Canucks system, Archdeep Baines, and, you know, signed out of the WHL overager and, you know, blew it up. And everyone was expecting, what is he going to do in the NHL? I'm not sure yet. I mean, I think he's going to be that bottom six guy. Maybe his ceiling is the AHL, but you'll never know. And that's the thing. Not you'll never know. I mean, you'll find out. But Doucette is a similar type of thing, you know, undrafted, signed because of his offensive exploits. And I mean, he deserved to be signed because.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who knows? I mean, this is basically a free prospect. I mean, he doesn't work out. All it cost was money. And that's, you know, or he ends up being a really good, even if he is just a bottom six guy. I mean, that's pretty good to get out of an undrafted free agent. So
absolutely.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with him. I think he could be out of this top 15. Like you said, Red Savage, I really like Red Savage as well. I've said that before. I've highlighted him many times. Anytime he's in the Team USA, I'm like, watch Red Savage. He's there because they're for face-offs. He's there at the final minute of the game. Just, again, does his job. And you need that in your bottom six in the playoffs and obviously during the regular season as well. But these are the guys that shine in the playoffs for you. So, yeah, Red Savage, I think I would have him in my top 15 if I was doing this as well. So, yeah, I think those Savage for sure would be a guy that would be there. All right, well, to finish off this discussion, let's talk about potential risers that could actually rise up this list when Delaney, obviously, we'll see if she does it again. I mean, it's 3,000 words to do. But Delaney, if you're doing it again, probably in a year from now, do you foresee kind of anyone kind of rising up this list? And then maybe just give a faller that could actually fall, not because they graduate, but falling out of for performance and stuff like that.
Who could rise? So we're talking like over the course of a year, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I think so. The reason why I said Shai Boom's one to watch is because I think he's going to be poised to take on like a really a key role with the University of Denver. He's going to be leaned on to, you know, play a lot of minutes and be a really key player for them. And that's a top-notch program over there. They won the national championship last season. So they'll have high expectations for him. I think if he flourishes in that environment and embraces the challenge, I think he's somebody who could definitely rise up the board here. I think Cross Hannes has a chance to move up as well. He's a player that lost some steam because he got injured. I know I was pretty excited about him coming out of training camp. And I think that if he is healthy come training camp and he shows well in the AHL, because I do believe he'll be in the AHL next season again, he has a chance to really climb up the ladder as well. And then a player who I think could actually fall, I kind of tipped my hand on this one. I think Sabrango at 8, a little too high for me already. I think he will fall unless he takes his game to another level next year, which I do think he's capable of. But with all the guys that the Red Wings have on the blue line already, you can probably I can foresee them taking another defensive prospect or two in this year's draft. God forbid they take one in the first round, right? I see that he's somebody who, if he doesn't take his game to another level, he's going to be a little bit lower than 8. And I think he's going to be a little bit lower than 8 when I do this again in 2 months. So he's one to watch in terms of falling.
Yeah, I really see a guy like Sabrango falling. Not because he's he's going to play bad. It's just that there's going to be other guys kind of going in there that could push him down. And, you know, that's what happens in any of these rankings. Guys play better. So you have to drop someone to risers. There's always fallers because, I mean, that's just how it happens. Cross Hannes, I believe I agree with that as well. I can see Buchelnikov potentially rising up if he continues his kind of trajectory that seems like he's going on. Could potentially come into that closer to that top five discussion. But again, who's getting added to this list? I mean, that's the problem, right? You're gonna have at least two that could, like you said, potentially that are gonna be on this list. I mean, first round
picks. At least.
I mean, there's second round picks we'll talk about. They have three of them. So it's those guys could potentially be in there too. So yeah, lots of potential for movement on this list, but this top 15 is pretty solid. And like you said, there's a few more that could potentially get into this. Just the nice depth of the Red Wings prospect pool right now. That's why you should be excited. Read this article because you'll get excited on the future of the Red Wings, because there's a lot that you can kind of look at. So thanks, Delaney, for writing that. Lots of great stuff there. take a look at it at thehockeywriters.com. There'll be a link in the description so you can kind of look over it while we're talking about it. So give it a look on the Hockey Writers, and yeah, leave the comments as well. Do you agree with this top 15? Give Delaney some feedback, because I'm sure she'll like to hear from you. Yeah, so give us some things, like what we talked about, risers, guys you think should be in the top 15. So give us those comments. All right, well, let's get to our first off the rush, since we have a quick one. Devin, from this top 15, who do you think is going to be the most impactful player on this list? And we'll eliminate Edvinson and Casper, because those are too easy. So apart from those two guys, who do you think is going to be the most impactful from the rest of this list here?
Should I go with the next easiest answer and say Sebastian Kosa?
Could be. We'll get away from the top three, because those are two.
Go away from the first round guys. Yeah. I'm gonna say Carter Mazur. I have liked what he's done. I liked what he did with University of Denver. I thought he showed really well for himself in the AHL in the brief time he spent there towards the end of the season. And then I've liked him a lot in the over at the World Championships. I think he's done really well for Team USA as well. I think he's the type of player that the Red Wings need more of. He's kind of that snarly forward. I think he could potentially replace Tyler Bertuzzi, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that he might be closer to the NHL than even I think. So, yeah, Carter Mazur is my answer there.
Yeah, I can't disagree. I'll go with Major as well. I really think he's going to be a heck of an NHL player. My gosh, he's already shown quite a bit, and he hasn't even played in the NHL yet. The AHL, he looked good in that time he was there at the end of the season. Yeah, we'll see what he does in the NHL. I'm assuming he'll probably get some games next season, at least in the preseason. We'll see him. Oh, for sure. So that's going to be fun to see his development over the next. Next year. Okay, well, that's our prospect talk. We'll talk draft next. That's the top 15, according to Delaney. Devin, of course, we have our own. That was a fun read. So take a look again. Take a look at the Hockey Writers description. Inscription below. Click on that link. All right, before we move on to our comment corner in the second half of the show, here's a message from the Hockey Writers.
Interested in writing for the Hockey Writers? If you have experience writing about hockey, are passionate about the sport, and are looking to take your writing to the next level, the Hockey Writers could be the place for you. Here at THW, you will have the opportunity to hone your craft at one of the world's largest and most respected hockey publishers. You will have control over what you write, be able to seek out media credentials, and be supported by a large network of writers and editors. Plus, you'll get paid for doing it. If you're interested and want to know more about team openings and requirements, please visit the Write for THW page on the Hockey Writers website. A link to that page is also listed in the description.
Right, like I said, let's get back to our comment corner, and we've got a couple questions. Don, we don't have one for you this time, unfortunately. You have a list. You'll get it again.
Gotta show some love to some other people.
Some other people we got. So our first one, this is from Dr. Detroit. Thanks again. Thanks for the question, Doctor. That's a great name. His question is, where are the Red Wings going to get grit and star power from this offseason? Or will they just stay the course in what they have? So, Devin, what do you think? Will they get some grit, star power in this free agency trades? What do you think Yzerman will do?
I think when Steve Yzerman point blank says that the Red Wings need to be tougher to play against when he's talking to the media at the end of the season, I think that he doesn't say that on accident. I think that he fully intends on figuring out a way to make the team, the Red Wings, tougher to play against. No, I will say it's kind of funny. He said that, and then since then, Joe Valeno tried to slice a dude's foot off. And then Moritz Seider got ejected from a game for a boarding penalty. Now, mind you, I think the Valeno thing was a bit more punishable harsh than what Seider did. But it is kind of funny that, you know, Yzerman says we need to be tougher to play against, and then the guys are out for vengeance, I guess. So maybe they do just stay the course, because I guess the guys got the message. But I do think that he, Eisenman, is going to go out and figure out a way to add some toughness and some star power. Yeah. I do think that there are candidates within their own system to add those things. You know, I just talked about Carter Mazur. He can be a gritty guy that can add that. Elmer Soderblom, maybe not grit, but he's huge, and that is hard to play against. That could help that. He played on that Redwoods line with Rasmussen and Sundqvist. That line was literally there to be hard to play against. And then also star power, like, you know, Marco Kasper, I think he's somebody that they could inject and maybe bring some star power. He's also the type of player that can be hard to play against and plays with a little bit of grit, right?
Yeah.
Simon Edvinson, same thing with star power. They have guys in their system that can provide these things, but they're prospects. You can't expect them to come in and immediately provide these things. So I do expect him, Eisenman, to, whether it's the free agent market or trades, I do think he's going to look heavily at the trade market, especially with some of the names that are out there recently. I think he's going to at least see if there's a fit, right? I think I would not be surprised if he makes that big deal we've all been waiting for that adds a star to the lineup. Maybe it's Alex DeBrincat. Maybe it's one of the Leafs guys. William Nylander would be crazy. One of the guys from the Jets, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. So there's definitely some potential out there for him to add some fun names. But I do expect him to do his due diligence when it comes to addressing these things without just promoting guys from within.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's tough. Free agency it's not the strongest class, I guess, from certain positions. I mean, there are the Patrick Kanes, the Vladimir Tarasenkos. Those guys are out there, but they're going to command probably some big dollars. I mean, you know, even though, you know.
And they'll want to go to teams that are like ready to compete for a cup. That too. Now, yeah. Right?
Like, that too. So, I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, to get guys like that on the Red Wings, I'm not sure they should go that route because, like you said, there is a lot of prospects that are going to be knocking on the door soon. And you don't want to tie that up when you have, you know, the veteran that's getting paid a certain amount of money in the long term. Although, yep. Eisenman doesn't seem to be a guy that signs free agents to long, long contracts, because I believe all the free agents that he got last season was max 4 years. I think Perron was it Perron that had the 4 years?
Top got a 5-year deal.
Top got the five. Yeah. So, yep. I mean, you know, other guys like veteran higher end guys like Perron, I think was just 3 years, right? 2 years. So lower, right? I mean, there's guys that he didn't go crazy. I mean, to sign these guys to 7-year contracts or big money. So, I mean, even if he does, I don't think he'll do that. But yeah, I don't know if free agency is the route. I think trades could happen for sure. Those second round picks, like we've mentioned a few times, those could be used to get guys like that. So it's going to be interesting to see what Eisenman does and to add that grit. Or just kind of like you said, and just hope that some of the prospects can come in and do that, or the young guys can do that.
Player I do want to throw out there, and he is definitely out there in Red Wings land. People are definitely already throwing his name out there, so I'll do the same. Steve Eisenman is the man who drafted Radko Gudas from the Florida Panthers. I've looked at the Panthers' cap situation going into next season, and I actually think they'll be able to keep him unless they don't want to keep him for whatever reason. So I wouldn't like hold my breath on that. But if he does hit free agency, why not go to the guy who drafted him, right?
Yeah, no, that'd be a good target. I think Gudas, he's shown so much in the playoffs. I mean, he's been really, well, Gudas. I mean, he's basically,
yeah, absolutely.
He's exactly what a defenseman he is. And that's valuable in the playoffs for sure. And he's been one of their top defensemen. So, I'm sure Florida's going to try to keep him, but that salary cap could dictate that they may not be able to. So there's going to be a lot of suitors for him. It's not going to be just the Red Wings. There's going to be quite a few teams that are going to want to add him to the back end. So, but that's a great target. I think he'd be a perfect fit on the blue line to add that toughness. And he's not bad defensively. He's actually developed into a pretty good two-way defenseman. So, that's a great call out for sure. Okay, well, like we alluded to, second round, we've talked about trading those second round picks and all that. Let's talk about some targets. And this is a question from Lee Swordy, or yeah, I guess Swordy. Lee Swordy, and he asks, what are some early targets for the Red Wings in the second round? They've got three of them at this point. I mean, they could trade them. Three consecutive, like we've mentioned before. So, Devin, any targets? I know we briefly did that in a quick fire and in an off the rush, but let's do a little bit more of a deep talking about these guys. So who do you have as a target in the second round?
I've got three guys I'm going to talk about, since the Red Wings have 3 second round picks, right? One is Jaden Perron, winger, short winger from the Chicago Steel. I think he's somebody who might fall a bit because he doesn't have size, and we all know how much NHL teams really prioritize that. But he's an electric winger who does make things happen. He's exactly what you want from an undersized winger. He makes things happen, right? Has offensive talent, competes well, and is able to make plays. And if you're getting him in the second round, where you're not like, you know, if you draft him in the first round, you really got to hope he turns into something. Second round, there's not that same amount of pressure. I think that's a really good spot to get him in. Another player I'm going to throw out is actually somebody who at one point in time was considered one of the top defensemen in the class, but not so much anymore. Cam Allen, right-handed defenseman. Red Wings need those. Like I said, he's kind of lost his luster over the course of this draft season, did not have the year that he needed to have to stay in that conversation as one of the top defenders in the class. But again, kind of like what I said with Perron, if you get him, you know, with a depth pick, so to speak, there's not as much pressure for him to really become something. And you can kind of take your time with him. And I think that there is still potential there. I think you don't write off a prospect because of one bad season. It's unfortunate that it was this draft season, but I think there's still potential there. And I do think he still has the possibility of becoming a solid NHLer. And at the very least, again, the Red Wings need right-handed defensemen, and he's one that offers some potential, right?
Yeah.
And then last but not least, and this one is maybe a little bit of a stretch. I think he's kind of a fringe second, maybe third round guy. But the Red Wings have his brother, so I think they got to at least consider him.
I know
you're talking about Noah Dower-Nilson, right? They have Liam already in their system. I'm sure they can ask him all about his brother and you know, make sure that there's a fit there. And he's an offensive winger, right? It's kind of funny because Liam's kind of like a defensive, high compete forward, whereas Noah's like he's offensive. His compete isn't bad, but that's not his calling card. He's more about scoring goals and producing offense. He's kind of like the other side of the coin of his brother. It's kind of funny. But he fits a need, right? If he's Swedish, they have his brother. he checks a lot of boxes. I think that he's a good solid, again, not one you'd want to like maybe get use a high pick on, but if you're using him getting him with a later pick, and you know you can take your time with him, and you know he plays for Frölunda. That's a program that the Red Wings have a lot of trust in. I think he's one that Red Wings should at least consider as well.
All great picks. I'll throw out three of my own. I really like this guy. I don't know if he's going to go into the first round. He may. His size is really going to dictate where he goes. But Gavin Brindley, I think he could definitely be a good pick playing for the University of Michigan, right in the backyard. He's probably one of the most high compete level. His motor's like runs hot all the time. I really compare him to, like I've said this on Prospect Corner, that he really reminds me of Connor Garland. He plays at just a high level, always moving around. He's never standing still, or I guess on the ice skating. He's never standing still on the ice. He's always skating around. But undersized, and that's may push him into that. Maybe late in the second round where the Red Wings could maybe grab him. I think he's a first round talent, but you say that size just pushes guys down. Logan Stankoven's a big, example of that, dropping into the second round, well, he should have been drafted in the first. And the depth of this draft could push him out too. So Gavin Brindley's one for me. Bradley Nadeau, another one. I think he's going to hit a heck of a season for the Penticton Bees. I mean, what he lead in the playoffs, he was insane. I mean, he had so many goals. But yeah, really, really a high end. Probably won't be drafted in the first round. I mean, he's going to be a second round guy. But lots of skill. And, you know, adding that to the system is always a good thing. And another, I mean, there's so many guys that I could pick out. Charlie Strommel's another one.
That's a good one.
And again, I'm higher on him than seems like a lot of people are. A lot of people think he's not going to be higher than a third line center. It's not bad. It's like Red Savage. I mean, going to be a good, solid two-way center or two-way forward that could play in your bottom six and maybe jump in your top six sometimes. But Strommel's another guy. I think he's going to be maybe drafted a little lower than he should and could drop into that realm where the Red Wings could pick. There's just so many names. Theo Lindstein's another one. I mean, yep, that could be in that range. Swedish defenseman had a really good world under-18s as well. So, I mean, they're going to have their pick. I mean, we just threw out seven names there. And there's a few more. If you just look at that second round, that area, there's a lot of forwards and defensemen and even goaltenders in that range that you could potentially pick and probably wouldn't be a bad pick. This is going to be fun to see what the Red Wings do here with their three consecutive second rounders. That is, like I said, if they choose to hold on to those three, they could trade one of them and still be fine. You draft two. You have two consecutive instead of three. It's not bad. So they're going to have three quickly added to their prospect pool in quick succession. So lots of fun coming up. So thanks, Lee, for that question, because we'll have our own draft targets show, which we'll probably talk about more of these guys. So look out for that. All right, final off the rush question. Devin, and this is in the draft again, of those six names that we just kind of just rattled off, who's your ideal one? I mean, if you're up there as Steve Yzerman and those guys are all on the board, who do you pick first?
I do like Perron. And part of that is I'm just not really that scared of undersized players. Yeah. There's too many good ones in the NHL to really have that much fear, in my opinion. So I think Perron's probably my first pick. But I do like your throw out of Strommel. I do think he's one that that checks some boxes for Detroit as well.
Yeah. I would probably go the same. I'd go Gavin Brindley, another undersized guy. If he's still on the board at this point, I believe he shouldn't be, but if he is, I would definitely pick him. Because that it's just that high end skill that could potentially turn into a, even if he is turning into a Connor Garland, Connor Garland's a really good player in the NHL.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's very useful. Even strength numbers that he had this year is just insane. And if Brindley can turn into even just him, that's pretty good. High end could turn to a guy like Johnny Gaudreau. You never know, right? I mean, his skill level is pretty high. And playing for the University of Michigan, pretty good program to be playing for as well. So that'd be my pick.
It's actually kind of funny, and maybe this speaks more to who I am as a hockey fan or prospect evaluator or whatever, but I find myself a lot more nervous about the big guys than the smaller guys.
Yeah.
And maybe that's some like PTSD from Michael Rasmussen, like being ninth overall. And now he's like a third line center, still a really good player. Right. But like not who you get at ninth overall.
Yeah.
To where like there's a lot of guys in this draft that are like, they have a lot of size and they have a lot of promise too, but I'm like, they don't need another Rasmussen. Like they already have one. So, if there's any point I'm making here, it's that don't be afraid of the smaller guys. The Red Wings need to like get tougher to play against and all that good stuff, But their blue line is going to be huge. That's kind of how they've been building their blue line. And it's not like they have like their entire forward core is under 6 feet tall, right? They can afford to have a couple smaller dudes on there, especially if they are capable of producing offense at a high level.
Yeah. It's funny how we both, I picked Brindley, you picked Perron. I think we did a showdown on Prospect Corner between those two guys. And I picked Brindley, but Peter picked Jaden. So I picked Perron. So
go tune into that episode, then come back and comment and tell us who you agree with.
Yes. Who would you pick, Brindley or Perron? But yeah, I agree. And you know that about me too. If you guys watched Prospect Corner in the past, undersized guys don't scare me either. I mean, that criticism should be just thrown out, because there's just so much examples out there that destroy it. And so, but teach his own. I mean, big guys are useful as well. All right. Well, that was a fun episode. Great prospect talk at the top. We talked second round draft picks. Also talked about some free agency trades. You know, we got it all in this episode. So thanks, Devin, for another great conversation, Red Wings related and all that. So again, keep the comments coming. We'll keep doing them. We'll keep answering your questions. Throw those in the comment section below. Again, give us some comments on Delaney's prospect rankings. And so lots of stuff you can comment on in this episode. So throw them down there. And, you know, like I said, those draft target episodes coming up. So we're going to try to get a big panel going. Hopefully we can get that going. Tony will be back on the episode on the show next week. So we'll have three on the episode. So stay tuned for that. And check out thehockeywriters.com for all the articles on the Red Wings. Lots of stuff, great stuff. Like I said, target articles. There's a few that have been coming out lately, and that's just going to keep coming because the draft is coming. So keep an eye out on on hockeywriters.com, YouTube channel again, like, subscribe, and follow us on Twitter as well at THW Grindline, and throw us the comments there as well. And until next time, we'll see you on another episode of The Grindline.